Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Tonight we're in the prayer meeting, and that is significant because what we're doing tonight makes a difference, but it also, not only through the specific things we're praying for as a church, but it makes a difference in the atmosphere of the church. It makes a difference in how God moves in the church. And so I hope that you understand by being here tonight that, you know, we can come and we can receive from the Lord, and that is a benefit of being in His presence. And truly, God loves you and wants to meet with you tonight, meet your personal need tonight. Also, we come to pray for the things coming up in the life of the church. But we come to pray because we understand if God's presence doesn't move and if He doesn't go before us, then we're on our own, and that means we're in trouble. You know what I'm saying? When it comes, because when we're believers, we're engaged not only in a battle spiritually, but we're engaged in God working supernaturally in our lives, in the people's lives around us, and in the church. And if we want God to move supernaturally, the Bible says we have to pray. And so I think it's important because, you know, sometimes I think we can come into the prayer meeting and we can lose sight of how much it matters that we're here. It really matters that you're here. And I think of Charles Spurgeon, who's one of the great preachers of all time. He said this, and we'll put it on the screen. The condition of a church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. So is the prayer meeting a graceometer, and from it we may judge of the amount of divine working among a people. It's a graceometer. It means like it shows like a gauge of grace on a church. Is the church a praying church? Is the prayer meeting strong? Then that shows you the grace on a church. The amount of divine working, the supernatural working of God. If God be near a church, it must pray. If he be not there, one of the first tokens of His absence will be a slothfulness in prayer. What you're doing here tonight, being here tonight, lifting up your voice in prayer tonight matters. Because it's not our effort that will win the day. It's not our desire to do better that will win the day. It's our pressing in to His presence and our calling on God and a desperation and a hunger and an excitement under the power of His presence and grace that will make the difference. And will make us, you know, when you read the Bible and you're like, man, I want to be like that. It's not just wanting to be like that. It's the prayer and the Holy Spirit moving you through pressing into His presence. And so, and truly what we've seen and what we are a part of as a church, you know, people getting saved every weekend, that doesn't happen everywhere. What we're seeing God do doesn't happen everywhere. And what we're seeing is coming and birth out of what happens in here. So I hope that's encouraging to you, that as you're here tonight, you're making a difference just by being here tonight. So you are awesome. Coming out on a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. after daylight savings time. So it's dark and it's cold, but you got here, people, because you're awesome. All right. So be encouraged. All right. Be encouraged. You're fantastic. So tonight we're going to pray for the very thing that's on God's heart, and that's lost people. We're going to pray for lost people to come to know Jesus, and we're going to pray for us as believers to have a boldness to reach them. And so as we talk about this, kind of frame our brief discussion tonight, our daughter Evelyn is 7 years old, and she's in first grade at Ozark North Elementary. And so a couple of stories on her because they're funny. So I went to get my hair cut, and I'm this new guy's cutting my hair, and I actually need to go like next week because it's time. But this new guy's cutting my hair, and he's really good. Like, you know, somebody who's like, you know, when they do this, you know, and they're not looking at you, but they're looking at your hair. That's when you know you found them. You're like, you're the person I'm gonna keep coming back to, because I kind of was jumping around. And so the first time they cut my hair, I asked them how long they've been cutting hair, and then he said he's been cutting hair for 4 days, not 4 days total of like, this is the first 4 days he's ever cut hair, but 4 days at that place. And I was like, perfect, you know, because like getting on the ground floor, as it were, you know. So anyway, just in conversation with this person, I was asking, you know, I think I asked them about church at one point, and you could just tell it wasn't, that wasn't a subject that they wanted to talk about. And so I've gone a couple times, and this next time, you know, I wasn't feeling up to having a conversation. You know, you're just tired or whatever. I think it was like DFL season or something. And so I'm in there, and I kind of go through, and I'm thinking, you know, looking, you know, kind of thinking about an opportunity, but not really pressing it, you know. And so I go get my haircut. It was great. I leave, and I'm at home that night, and I'm putting Evelyn to bed. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, you know, got my haircut today, and Dan cut my hair, and she's like, oh, cool. And I was like, yeah, I don't think Dan knows Jesus. And she goes, well, did you tell him about Jesus? And I go, no. And she goes, why? And I was like, I mean, I really had no good reason, you know, like, because if you say, well, I was tired, it's like, I don't want to put that into her, you know, like, that's not a good reason not to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, you're like, you're right. I was just like, you're right. I should have told Dan about Jesus. So we've started praying for Dan. But I thought that was so awesome because it brought to light in me and made it, you know, that faith like a child, that it's just so obvious to her. It's like, why wouldn't you? Jesus is the best thing ever. So why would not you tell him about Jesus? And so then this week, you know, we had the invite cards on the seats on Sunday, and we were here for team night on Tuesday night, and there was invite cards on the seats, and she collected all the invite cards after team night and invited every one of her first grade teachers and every kindergarten teacher at her school, which is crazy. So she told me as we walked in tonight that she's going to invite more people than I am to James River Christmas, and I said that is absolutely not going to happen, all right? So the competition is on. But that childlike faith and that urgency to understand that Jesus is the most important thing is so important for us to have. And we talked a little bit about that on Sunday. But that's going to come through prayer. You know, the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of men, blinded the hearts of men, blinded those who don't believe, that they're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who's the exact likeness of God. And so we need to pray that the enemy's plans defeated and blind eyes are open. When you hear that people are blind, you know, oftentimes when you're reading the Gospels, Jesus talks about blindness and talks about spiritual blindness, and that people, when they don't know Christ, are blind. And it's not a pride thing on our hearts as believers to say people are blind, because you and I, without Christ, at one time were blind. So it's not like, oh, I'm better than you because you're blind and I'm not. It's like, no, we're all blind without Jesus. And if you don't have God do a supernatural work in your heart, you're blind. But it says the God of this world, which is Satan, has blinded the hearts of people. So what does that tell you? That there is a spiritual battle when it comes to people who don't know Jesus, that there are things that, you know, the God of this world doesn't want people to believe, and so he blinds their hearts. And so when we as believers want to reach somebody for Jesus, then we have to understand that it's not just a surface battle. This is not just you having an argument that convinces somebody, or winning, getting the upper hand in a discussion, or saying, you know what, I'm nicer than this person, so if I'm nicer, that will show people that Jesus is real. Because while God can use, maybe you're a person that is intelligent, and God can use your intelligence and your kindness to reach somebody for Jesus, you cannot open somebody's blind eyes. I cannot open somebody's blind eyes. You may be somebody who's really great at hospitality and like super kind, and we should all show the kindness of Christ, but you cannot out-kindness everybody and say, therefore, God is gonna open their eyes because I out-kindness them. No, it's gonna be a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that opens somebody's eyes, and that comes by way of prayer. Prayer is our tool for waging war supernaturally. Prayer is our tool for winning the battle spiritually. You know, you think of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. God, open our eyes to see beyond the physical, to see the battle that's happening in the spiritual. God, open our eyes with our neighbors to see the battle that's happening in the spiritual. God, open our eyes at work to see the battle that's happening in the spiritual. God, because if you look at it and you just think on the surface level, on just the physical, then you're missing what's really happening. And you're, if you're fighting the battle and saying, man, I just can't convince them, and you're just fighting that on your own willpower, you'll never win that battle. But if you fight in prayer, God can open up blind eyes. And it's important that we do that because without us praying, God, the things won't happen. There are things that will only happen if we pray. Things that will only happen. And we don't know all the reasons God set up everything the way he set it up, but we know that God has called us to pray, and the spiritual battle is won in prayer. And that's why, like earlier, we were talking about the importance of being in the prayer meeting, because we can do battle here that will open up doors for God to bring the victory in people's lives. Amen? Amen. Number two, we need to pray that people are drawn to Jesus. You know, John chapter 6 says this, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me." That's Jesus talking. Nobody can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them. In Acts, Paul, you know, with the Paul, you know, when Paul gets a vision in Macedonia, and somebody, you know, has this vision, and somebody says, "Hey, come to Macedonia, help us." So they go to Macedonia, and they're there, and they go to a place to pray. And as they go there, they meet somebody who, on the surface, probably appeared like they had it all together. First of all, they were at a place of prayer, which is a good sign. And then secondly, this person, her name was Lydia. She's pretty well off. It's indicated in scripture that she almost has like two places that she lives. I think she's from Thyatira, and then she's in, this would be Philippi. And so she's a really wealthy person. It says she was a dealer in purple cloth, which would have been super expensive at that time. So I'm just saying all that because oftentimes we can look at the surface and say, oh, that person doesn't need Jesus. They seem like a spiritual person and they are well off. And so they seem like they have it all together. Therefore, they wouldn't be interested in hearing about God. And we have to be careful not to think that way. So Paul is going to a place of prayer. They meet this person named Lydia, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit opened her heart to what they had to say. That the Holy Spirit opened her heart. And what's that tell us? That, you know, Jesus is saying, unless the Father draws somebody to me, then they're not going to come. That we have to pray, God, draw people in my world to you. Not only does the Holy Spirit need to open their eyes, but then God has to empower them by the Holy Spirit to move towards Jesus. You know, it's so cool when we're talking in Romans because you get this idea that God in our salvation does all the work. He does it all. And that's so true. But what's that tell us as believers? If we want to be a part of fulfilling what God's called us to do on this earth, and truly we could do everything better in heaven, we could worship better in heaven, we could talk to God better in heaven, we'll be able to do more in heaven, except reach the lost. But if we're going to accomplish what God has called us to do, if God does all the work, then what's that tell us? We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and pray that God would do what only God can do, that God would draw people. So if you know somebody in your world and you're like, man, I've asked them and they haven't come, or I've talked to them about Jesus and their heart's not open, then we need to pray and not say, well, God, I've done my part. Have you done your part in prayer? Have you done your part in prayer? Because you might be extroverted, you might be introverted, doesn't matter. You might have the right things to say or might not have the right things to say, but if you pray, God can draw that person to him. And you could see a miracle happen. And truly, if you feel like, man, I've done my part and it's not happening, then you're in a great place to see God do a miracle. They're a great candidate for God to do a miracle through your prayer, amen? Because he's gonna get the glory, isn't that right? If you're like, I don't think that person can get saved, then he's gonna get the glory. If you're like, I asked them and they didn't come, then he's gonna get the glory because he draws people to himself. We need to pray that they would begin to think about eternity. We need to pray that they would begin to long for a purpose that is deeper than the purpose that they think they can create for themselves. We need to pray that they long for a connection with God, long for the only the peace and the love that God can bring. We need to pray that they get spiritually, there's an itch that they can't scratch, you know? If you ever had poison ivy, you know what that's like. It's bad, all right? But pray that spiritual unrest, that restlessness, that's a good thing. Pray that God puts that in their heart, that they can't rest, and that God would use that to draw them to him. Number three, we need to pray believers are put in their path. Matthew chapter 9 says, so pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Pray to the Lord and ask him to send workers into his field. That, Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, the fields are white for harvest, giving this indication that there are people that if we pray that God draws them to him and that God, Holy Spirit opens their eyes, there are plenty of people who would want to get saved, need to get saved. But it's not that there's a harvest problem, there's a lack of harvest, there's a worker problem. And we need to pray that God sends workers, that God puts people in people's path. You know, maybe you know somebody who doesn't know the Lord. It becomes really alive to you in that moment if you really don't have interaction. Maybe they're a family member who lives across the country, or you just don't have much interaction with them just because of life circumstances. Then it really comes alive. Lord, put people in their path who know you. Put people in their path who love you. Put people in their path who are bold and full of the Holy Spirit. Put people in their path that shine the love of Jesus, and use them, God, to open their heart to Christ. Matthew 10, 1. So this, what we just read was Matthew 9. And it's as though when we pray for that, we become the answer as well. That when we pray, yes, God, send out workers, and God, Lord, put people in their path, then all of a sudden, we become the answer as we're praying. It's right after Jesus says that, then in chapter 10, it says, the prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called the 12 of his followers and sent them into ripe fields, and he gave them the power to kick out evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurting lives. That's when Jesus sends out his disciples to preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And it's that right after that, praying for God to send out workers, that God sends them out. And we have a responsibility. Yes, Lord, put people in people's path, put believers in people's path. But as we pray that, recognizing that that's our responsibility as well. And I just pray, as we're here tonight in the presence of the Lord, it's a good opportunity for us to bring people to Jesus who are blind, for us to pray that God draws them near, but to pray, God, send out workers. If we're not a church that's desperate to reach lost people, and we're not a people that's desperate to reach lost people, then we're missing what's a huge part of God's heart. That's God's heart hurts for the lost. And it's convicting to think about that. Do I hurt for the lost like God hurts for the lost? Do I think about lost people? How often am I thinking, when I'm driving in my neighborhood, do I think about lost people? Because that's what God's thinking about in your neighborhood. That's what God's thinking about at your workplace. And God cares about our needs, but he cares urgently for lost people.